The target is being so impacted by the heart and mind of Christ that our internal world becomes healthy. And when my internal world becomes healthy, it affects everything about my life, my physical health, my mental health, emotional health. It affects my finances. It affects my worldview. Everything is impacted by what I allow to go on in here, in my heart of hearts. Welcome, welcome. Glad that you're able to join us once again. We just call this the quest for wisdom. The need has never been greater for a people to rise up in the earth with the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God brings solutions, and we've never been more surrounded with challenges or problems than we have been in recent years. So anyway, welcome to the quest for wisdom. I have forgotten to mention this in previous weeks, but I'm doing most all of my study or reading in this series out of the New King James Version. And I happen to have the Holy Spirit filled Life Bible that Jack Hayford put together. So many great word studies and stuff. So anyway, it's not a promotional for that, but just to let you know that when I read what I'm reading from, because some of the translations are quite diverse, and each tends to add a nuance or a flavor that can really help us in our pursuit of wisdom. So chapter 14 is where we're starting. And chapter 14 is just pregnant. I was just telling the team here, this is a pregnant chapter. There's so much in here for us. So I'm going to try my best to get through it in the 7 or 8 minutes that we'll have together to get through as much of it as really is in my heart. So Proverbs chapter 14, I want to begin with verse 4. And it's one of my personal favorite, what I call revival verses. Now, you have to understand, help me to loosely translate revival verses, because it's not directly talking about an outpouring of the Spirit of God, yet the principles involved in Scripture here, in this book of wisdom, pertain directly to great moves of God. And so here's the verse. We're going to start with chapter 14, verse 4. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by strength of the ox. Where there's no oxen, the manger, the barn area, where there's no oxen, it's clean, it's orderly, everything's perfect. But if you want increase, you have to have a shovel. You got to get ready to clean up a mess. And I honestly don't know of any verse that more accurately describes being involved in great moves of God. There's this notion that some people have that if it's a great move of God, there won't be any problems with it, and that's just not true. Anytime people are involved, you increase the odds of there being complexities and difficulties and conflicts, all the above. And the enemy is a counterfeiter. He's not a creator, and so he likes to counterfeit stuff. And so when you're involved in something that God is doing, a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there will always be opportunity for flesh. There will always be opportunity for the enemy to try to come in and deceive. That's not to make us paranoid. It's just to help us to sort through the priorities. If you want a move of God, just be ready to clean up messes. You know, perhaps you've heard the comparison. Graveyards are nice and orderly. Nurseries where there's lots of babies are really messy. One has life, the other doesn't. And really, moves of God, they just automatically bring challenges to life. And so it forces you to learn how to pray. You know, because I'll tell you, we've gone through seasons where night after night after night, God would be doing something so powerful. And we would look at what was happening and just shake our heads, you know, like, is that the Lord? You know, I don't know. First of all, it's biblically accurate, but this is so unusual. And we would just shake our heads and just kind of measure the fruit over time and come back and say, yeah, that was God. It was amazing. So I want to encourage you. It's a risky but well-deserved journey to embark on, to say, Holy Spirit, come and do as you please. I just want to cooperate with you. So where there's no oxen, it's a clean barn. But if you want increase, you got to get a shovel. Got to get ready to clean up messes. So welcome to revival. That's the life of revival. Let's move on through chapter 14. There's so much here. I guess I've already said that. There's so much here that I want to talk about. So let's jump right to verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The folly of fools is deceit. All right, here's the point. Go from the presence of a foolish person when you don't perceive that he is speaking truth. He is speaking revelation knowledge. Why? Who you associate with impacts and affects your discernment. The people that you exchange, you do life with, they actually have an impact on your perception of truth. If you constantly give input, and I don't care whether it's your best friend at work or it's the sitcom that you watch on TV, if you continuously expose yourself to things that are not true, it will affect your ability to discern right from wrong, truth from a lie. That which is vital to that which is inferior. And so the Lord wants us to be very deliberate in who we associate with. Now, this is the way I approach it. I will serve and minister to anybody. They can be the worst person on the planet. I'm going to love and care for them. But the ones that I allow to speak into my life, to contribute to me, that is a different story. And I'm going to approach that with much more caution and care. So choose the people that you spend time with carefully. Verse 9, oops, I'm running out of time here. I got to go fast. You listen fast, I'll talk fast. Verse 9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Fools mock at sin. This is really a big, big deal. Fools mock at sin. What is it telling us here? I'll tell you what the enemy does to erode godly culture. He's not going to get us overnight to approve of sin. So what does he do? He brings sin into sitcoms, into jokes, into various parts of culture, knowing that if he can get us to laugh at sin, to think sin is humorous, then it weakens our resistance. And so that's what happens. You can look over the last 40 years of TV and the subject matter, and every great area of sin that our nation is involved in right now started as an area of humor 20, 30 years ago. And when you laugh at sin, when you make light of sin, it ruins, it destroys your resistance, and it affects your discernment. And so that's it's a big, big deal for us to be careful as to what we're willing to laugh at, what we are willing to make a part of our own entertainment, if you will. All right, I'm going to move on down here real quickly. Let's see. Let's go right down. Let's go right down to verse 27, and we'll end our time on this chapter today. Actually, I'm going to do 27 and 20, and 30. All right. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Verse 30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. This quest for wisdom is more than let's try to find answers for the world's problems. To me, that's the spillover. That's the benefit. It's the result. But the target is not that. The target isn't finding, you know, solutions for world peace. The target is being so impacted by the heart and mind of Christ that our internal world becomes healthy. And when my internal world becomes healthy, it affects everything about my life, my physical health, my mental health, emotional health. It affects my finances. It affects my worldview. Everything is impacted by what I allow to go on in here, in my heart of hearts. So here it is, a sound heart, stable heart, that inner world is life to the body. I would encourage you, if you're dealing with health issues at all, go through the book of Proverbs and look at every time there is the decree about our words in our internal world of health, sound mind, sound heart, the internal world having effect on our bodies. And I pray that in this next season, you and I together can learn some of the secrets of divine health, because that's God's will for us. So I pray that for you. I pray that in this next season, everyone watching this would come into a place of breakthrough in areas of health, especially as it pertains to just a sound heart. In 3 John 2, it says that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So my prayer for you, for me, for all of us, prosperity of soul, our internal world would be healthy. Amen. Bless you.